The Alabama Crops Report Podcast, your trusted information source for Alabama agriculture.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Alabama Crops Report Podcast. Good to be back in the room today. Got Simmer Virk. I'm Scott Graham. I have Simmer Virk and Henry Jordan with us today. Going to talk a little bit about the Auburn Variety Testing website and what's going on there. How's it going, guys?
Good. Glad to be here.
Yeah, Henry's going to do a little extension type work today. Yeah. He's got a 100% research responsibilities. Henry manages our variety testing program, and it is a ginormous program.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, for our audience who may not be aware about the OVT program here, you know, before we jump into some of the other stuff, can you tell a little bit about what that program is and what's your role in it?
So the OVT program at Auburn, we have approximately 20% of all the research that's conducted across the Alabama experiment stations. So that encompasses everything from cattle research to horticulture, row crops, everything. I've got approximately 20% of that. And then the program in general for the 2025 season, which we're planting the winter grains and the forages for the 2025 season, we're projected to go over 130 trials for the season, for the year. So there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of stuff going on. We do everything from cotton, corn, peanuts, soybeans, grain sorghum, five species of winter forages, do a little bit of everything.
How many locations?
Depending on the crop, it varies, but overall, I think we are at nine locations total across the state.
Nine locations. How many plots do you anticipate in 25?
Too early to tell for 2025. For 2024, I think it was over 10,000.
Over 10,000 plots.
And these are spread all across the state, right?
Yes, spread all over the state, all the way from Belmina to Fairhope.
Yeah, that's one thing that's kind of unique for us, and I talk about this a lot, but how, you know, we grow crops basically in 67 of 67 counties, right? Depending on the year, cotton is, it can be in as many as 61 or 62. And so, you know, you think about on-farm variety trials and doing those in a lot of locations, which pretty much everybody does across the belt, right? But most of them don't run these OVTs or these official variety trials in as many locations as you do, but we've really got to, because there's so many different environments across the state.
Yeah, Alabama is much more diverse than my home state of Georgia as far as growing environments.
Yeah, mine in Mississippi too. Yeah, and I always say the Mississippi Delta, you got Mississippi, Louisiana, West Tennessee, Arkansas, Boot Hill, Missouri is basically one big field, right? And Alabama, I mean, we're spread out across a larger geography than those four or five states are combined.
Together, yeah. So, Henry, what is, I guess, thinking about the OVT program, right, what is the main goal or what's the impact of the program?
So the main purpose, the main goal of the program is to provide data to our stakeholders so they can make informed decisions about what variety will work best for their situation. Now, there's a lot of things that go into that. When I started, the main thing that they told me was we need to have data more timely. So I've strived real hard over the years to work on getting data put out to growers in time where they can get early season buying discounts. Basically, at this point, they're able to see data as close to a real-time release as we can get.
As you harvest, yes. You constantly upload it, yep, on the website and all that. That's just great.
And you'll even write, you're doing a lot of quality work with it, you know, ginning or, you know, getting soybean quality, I think soybean quality.
Most of the quality is going to be cotton and forages.
Cotton, but you'll even update yield before you've had time to,
yes,
to get all that figured out. So at least those numbers.
Yeah, you can look at yield within, depending on how fast the data gets to me, Once I get it, let's just say a week, 2 weeks, there'll be yield results on the website.
Yeah.
Quality, there's a lot more work that goes into pricing quality samples as far as ginning or grinding forage samples. Then you got to send them off for analysis, wait for the results to come back. So,
as someone who works in a discipline where timeliness is the most critical factor, I always appreciate when I wake up and I have those emails in the inbox. It's, hey, Scott, we've uploaded a new cotton variety.
Man, I like the personalization of those emails. It's like you're talking to me directly when it says, hey, Simmer, we have uploaded this. I feel like you're just telling me, like, hey, we just got results just for you or something.
The first couple of times I got one, I was like, man, I can't believe Henry just sent this straight to me.
That's
and
what
I mentioned
I thought.
He was like, oh, no, it does that for everybody.
Yeah. So before we dive deep into a few of the things, where can our stakeholders and growers, what's your address for this website?
So I'm not going to give out the whole website. They probably won't remember it. But if they'll Google Auburn Variety Testing, you can find the main page pretty easy. From there, it's broken up by crop, so you can choose whether you want to look at cotton, peanuts, corn, whatever your interest is. And then once you click on that, it'll show you all the posts and everything available.
And they can sign up for your post updates, right?
Yes, they can sign up for updates and get on the mailing list, and they're able to sign up for updates by crop. So if you're a peanut farmer and you don't care about forages, you don't get spammed with a bunch of forage emails, and vice versa. You can pick what you want to get updates on.
That is very neat. All right, I guess talk a little bit about, I know you say you work with a lot of different crops, so before us digging too deep into any of the varieties or the stuff, if we even want to share that, is you talk to me or even other specialists about you got this tool where you can sort filter and it tells you what did best and also help in getting recommendations for next year.
Right. So we a few years ago, we started a new online variety selection tool. At this point, we've got all of our crops on there, and it's got multiple years' worth of data on there, multiple locations. So the cool thing about it, I guess, let me back up and say, it's expensive. So a lot of the funding
the website is expensive. Not access to. It's free. It's free for the users.
Yes, it's not an Auburn thing. We're contracted with a third party to host and maintain the website. So doing that is expensive, and we're getting funding from all of the commodity groups. So checkoff dollars are going to help fund this. So if any of the growers are wanting to know where some of their checkoff dollars are going, it's going to fund this tool. That's not the only thing, but that's just one of the projects that it's going towards. So the tool in itself, you're going to look at whatever you're looking at by crop, obviously. So if we're going to look at cotton or corn or soybeans, you're going to go to that section. You can look at individual trial data. You can look at the weather data for the trial management. You can see on what dates whatever pesticide application was made, whatever the irrigation amount was made, on what the date was. You can compare that across the weather data on the season. You can see all that information. Then there's an analytics portion where you can look at multiple data fields. You can look at yield, test weight, moisture, whatever. All simultaneously, you compare it across locations, across time, you can see all that in one spot. It kind of it gives you a good visual and helps you absorb a lot of information at once.
Okay, so you kind of threw a lot over there, almost sounded like a researcher for a second.
Yeah.
So if I was a grower and I'm want to make a decision on some varieties for corn next year, right, what would be the best approach just as a, you know, like, is it, I want to look at region specific thing? How would you approach it?
So it would depend on what I'm doing. Let's just, for example, if I was in North Alabama, I would probably look at some stuff from the North region locations. And if you go to our corn stuff where we post our data, well, I put some shortcuts on there so you can get North region summaries and you can look at the location summaries.
Would you only look at 2024 data, or you want to look at least last three years of data, or how do you?
Preferably, you would want to look at multiple years worth of data.
Okay.
With corn, for instance, soybeans are also the same way. The turnover of varieties is so frequent that a lot of the times we don't get to build up 3 or 4 years worth of data. They hit the market, they come through the program maybe 2 years, and then they're swapping varieties and putting new stuff out. So that can be an issue on some of the crops. corn and soybeans are particularly notorious for that. But if possible, I would look at multiple years. You're also going to look at multiple locations. And then doing that on corn, we have irrigated and non-irrigated trials. So one thing that hopefully everybody knows is the top variety in our dry land trial is probably not going to be the same variety in our irrigated trials. So depending on whether you've got irrigated acres or dry land acres, you're going to be wanting to look at different varieties.
And one of the neatest things to me, and Henry and I actually did this morning before I talked, before we sat down to record looking at a cotton variety, is you can sort it by consistency. So you can say this variety was in the top 10% of, you know, yield across all these trials and years. And so that gives you an idea of how consistent it can be and not just trying to figure it out for yourself.
Right. So we've got a variable or a data field that we call top yield group. And not to bog down the statistics or anything like that, but in a single location, it will tell us that it's either 100% in the top group or at 0%, it's not in the top group. Well, when we start looking at multiple years, multiple locations, we can average those together, and we can say 70% of the time, this one's in the top group. So that's showing us consistency across years and locations. That's kind of a quick and easy check to make sure that you're on the right track.
Okay. To your point about most of these varieties have a very quick turnaround and all that, do you have the opportunity to test some varieties which from the companies like in 2024 that would still be available in 25, or they would make it available like the new varieties or something, so that way it's a little bit more relevant?
So some of both. I'll get a lot of commercial varieties that are currently available. Assuming that they don't do away with them next year, they should be available next year and should be there for sale. I'll also evaluate a bunch of experimental varieties, stuff that's not released yet or stuff that's coming onto the market. So hopefully when a variety is released from a company, we've already got a couple of years worth of data on it when it hits the growers.
So that's how they're able to.
Yep.
Okay. And I guess maybe even want to have a pitch for our industry partners. How do you select these varieties, or how do they, or if someone want to be a part of this?
So if someone wants to be a part of it, for the industry guys, they sign up for updates and they can get updated when we put out our call for entries. So one unique thing about the Auburn Variety Testing Program is it's funded by entry fees. So these companies pay to participate in the variety trials, and that's the only thing that funds the program. So we don't have any hard funding from the university to support the program. So it all comes from entry fees.
Just to tie it back in, the commodity boards are funding the website.
Yes.
And the entry fees from the companies fund your
program.
Your people who work for you and those
salaries, supplies, travel, the whole nine yards. Yep. So if they want to participate, depending on the crop, some of them are structured a little bit differently, but they get to pick and choose where they want to evaluate their varieties. So if they have a corn variety that they think is going to do well in North Alabama, but it's not going to do well in South Alabama, they're only going to test it in the North region. Same for cotton. I see we have some varieties that do really good in our full season or our early planted, beginning to May planted stuff, but they don't think they're going to do well in the short season, the beginning of June planted stuff. So they'll test them in one environment or the other. Sometimes they'll do both. So it's kind of up to the industry guys.
And obviously they can't test every variety they want to sell, right? But how do you determine, or is it just on how much they're willing to pay for how many varieties?
Typically it's going to be left up to them how much they want to invest in it. So it's I guess you can look at it two ways from their standpoint. They need the data so they can release varieties. They need it also so they can market their varieties. So if they do good in the variety trials, then that's bragging rights, and that could be used as advertising to help them sell seed.
Yeah, I see a lot of different meetings and stuff I go to. I see a lot of stuff from Auburn's OVT on data slides and stuff.
Yeah. And just a quick plug-in again, you are presenting some of the stuff at the Alabama Row Crop Short Course, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so
I'm at most of the field days. the last couple of years I've been at the Alabama Crow Crop Short Course. Looks like this year I may end up being in a couple of commodity group meetings. We'll just see how it goes.
Okay. So we don't want to get into varieties, names and all that, but what would be some of the big trends or bigger picture from this year from your program, if you want to highlight or talk about a few?
Sure. Couple of the highlights from this year. Corn, in North Alabama in particular, we have at the Tennessee Valley Research and Extension Center, we have an irrigated and a dry land trial. Same list of entries, same varieties in each trial. The dry land trial, it suffered pretty bad. We were in a drought. Top end, it was like 101 bushels or so. So 100 bushels. The irrigated trial, they irrigated with 6.5 inches of irrigation for the season. Same amount of rainfall, obviously. And they increased the yield by 2.5. It was like 256 bushels. So I would say in that instance, it was really neat looking at the results, but in that instance, the irrigation definitely paid for itself. So
I don't know how much 6 inches of water costs, but I bet you it's a lot less than 150 bushels.
Oh, no doubt. Couple of other things that we're seeing, and this isn't just a 2024 thing, but cotton. We have our full season trials. Like I said, they're planted at the beginning of May, first week or so in May. And then we have our short season trials that are planted last week of May, first week of June. So even though they're planted at the same site, they've got unique environments due to planting date. Mm-hmm. And we see varieties perform very differently in one set versus the other. So if you're looking at planting cotton for 2025, if you can get all your stuff planted on May 1 or the first week of May, look at the full season trials. If it's going to take you 3-4 weeks to plant, I would look at swapping varieties. I wouldn't plant the same variety that I started out with at the end of May, beginning of June. So just a few things to consider on that would be.
Is it the performance?
The performance, the variety would be different on those planting dates. And also, depending on whether it's an irrigated field or a non-irrigated field, they're going to perform differently as well.
Are growers, and again, this is my lack of knowledge on the agronomy side, are the growers making decision about next year right now, or do we got some time, or how does that, where are we at with that?
On corn, I would think that growers are starting to get ready to order seed already.
Okay.
On some of the other crops, we're still a little bit early, but it's definitely in the back of their mind what
so
they're going to do
corn,
next year.
So for corn, they can definitely utilize some of, online, look at variety selection, look at performance, and that could. You said something about save points. Growers can save points.
So
elaborate on that.
On corn, a lot of the times, if you order your seed early, you can get a discount on your seed. You can get it a little bit cheaper. So planning ahead and being more timely, we can get the data out. Hopefully, they can make better decisions and save a little bit of money on their seed.
Okay. What about, so 2024, that any special considerations or anything by 2025, given you have been doing this for a while, you have all this data?
Let's see, for 2024, so just again, unique things that happened for 2024. We had a peanut trial in Fairhope. We normally do our peanut OVT down there, it's no big deal. Well, this year weather got us, we ended up having to replant, and we planted what I would call ultra late peanuts down there. So I've had a couple of questions this year. What do we do if we want to plant super late on peanuts? Well, hopefully I'll have some data to show that this year. We planted on June 18th, mm-hmm. which is the latest I've ever planted peanuts in my entire career.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, we get a little bummed when things don't go exactly how we want it to in our research plots, but you always learn something. And no matter what, there's somebody out there that has that situation on their farm, and so it definitely helps.
And with variety trials, I know everybody thinks it's research, it's easy, no big deal, but we run into the same obstacles that the growers have, whether it's drought or too much rain, we can't get planted on time because we don't have moisture, or we have too much moisture. You know, we run into the same problems that they
did. It was a weird year, particularly considering it was more or less the same everywhere. But you got to about the May the, 10th or so, and it didn't quit raining. And then it didn't rain again until after July the 4th. And it didn't quit raining until August. And then it didn't rain until September. And that was basically everywhere. So just a really weird year.
It was. And then even this fall, it's been no moisture. And then we finally got blessed with a little bit of rain yesterday. And either you made the decision to dust something in before the rain and hope for the rain, or you're waiting on this moisture that we just got, and hopefully you're getting ready to put it in the ground.
Maybe you can get a planter into the ground.
Yep.
Well, same with soil sampling. We were
pulling
some samples when it was super dry, and it was just hard to get that probe even down more than 2 inches.
Yep, I imagine this next week is going to be pretty busy for ag. You know, hopefully most folks are finished up with harvesting or approaching that, and now we got a lot to do in a short amount of time.
Yeah. I guess I'm just curious as to, are you working with anyone in the college or research side? Like, have anybody taken all your data? How long you have this data for?
2018, 2019.
So six, 7 years, if not more. Done a meta-analysis on it based on the weather pattern, especially like the drought and all that. To kind of, because I like, especially this year with, right, irrigation is our limitation. We know the drought's going to come at some point within the season. Are there certain trends from that data we could be utilizing and telling growers to manage their risk?
So nobody has done that to my knowledge. I do have kind of a little side project going on with forages that I've been looking at some of that data myself. And I'm seeing some trends that go along with that weather. Particularly with ryegrass forages, we have a lot of varieties that repeat year after year after year. So not only do we have 2 or 3 years of data, we may have 7, 8, 9 years worth of data for a variety. So that makes it really good for doing that type of analysis. We've been looking at it, and I had a variety. I'm not going to name the name of the variety, but it came out pretty high on the list on our first forage harvest this year across multiple locations. I had a couple of my industry people call and say, hey, your data's not right. There's no way that variety was an early variety. There's no way. So they kind of scared me. I was like, uh-oh, did I make a boo-boo? Did I mess up? So I started digging through the data and looking. Well, this year's weather pattern matched 2024 weather pattern. And I mean, 2020 weather pattern. And guess what? The same variety came out on top.
Wow.
So I'm seeing trends. I just don't have enough analysis done to where I can make recommendations.
No, I'm just wondering that it's not that you have these tools and website and all that, but now you got this almost, I want to say, gold mine sitting in a way as you accumulate more data that somebody can take that and do a meta-analysis. Like you said, we had a drought probably in 2020 and this year, and it could have a very similar weather pattern. How can we learn from that to help growers manage some of the risk or select varieties or make better decisions?
I would definitely like to move in that direction. I'm just not sure exactly how we're going to pull it off.
So, Henry, generally speaking, you mentioned, like, for your cotton, you got a full season and short season, and they're planted about a month apart. What are the – does one planting date kind of out-yield the other? Are they similar? Not a fair comparison? How do you – and I got a point with that question, but I'll let you.
It depends on the weather.
That's actually my point.
Yep.
And my point is, I've said that word several times in a row now, point, but trying to spread out your risk, especially, I mean, Alabama, we're 90% or more dry land. Trying to spread out your planting window over a period of time so that everything is not setting bowls or filling bowls when that drought hits, mm-hmm. is important. And if we do have good data that shows, hey, you know, on either side of this planting window, you still got pretty good yield potential, that maybe gives you a little bit more comfortability in doing that.
Yeah. I always recommend trying to spread your risk, trying to diversify. And on cotton, planting date's one way to do it. Another thing we can do to diversify is not put all our eggs in one basket, plant multiple varieties. So don't plant the same variety at the early planting date through the season, but also don't plant all of your early fields in the same variety. You know, swap it up, pick two or three good ones. And that way, if one fails, you've still got two or three that can pick up the slack, and hopefully you don't have a catastrophic failure.
Yeah.
Could some of your variety data, I know we were talking about this on the previous episode or one before that, on switching crop acreage based on the market and all that, but does the variety data also help with that, or I'm just kind of curious as
to? I would think you could use that into making a decision. I mean, obviously commodity prices are going to be the main factor a lot of these guys are looking at when they decide which crop they want to plant. But you can also look at this data and say, hey, what's the yield potential? What's Auburn able to produce? And then you can go in and say, well, if I'm only getting on a dry year 30 bushels of soybeans, is it even worth my time to put soybeans in this year? You can use some of that data both ways.
Of course, we go into every year thinking it's going to be the best year we've ever had, right? You, I don't think you can do this business with a gloomy outlook.
I don't necessarily have a gloomy outlook. It's more of, all right, we had challenges this year. It's what are next year's challenges going to be? Because we know they're not going to be the same.
Yeah.
No season is the same. So this year it was drought. Next year it'll be something else. We just don't know what yet.
Well, we're nearing the end of the episode. Anything other specific you want to mention about, you know, people can find useful from whether from the program data or use certain?
A couple of new things we did this year. Soybeans, we did a root knot nematode screening on soybeans. Two of those trials are already available. You can look at the results. So on that, something that's cool is we did yield. So that's obviously the biggest thing, but we also did root samples. We dug roots, we did gall ratings on the roots, and we put pictures of those on the website. So you can look at the gall ratings, you can look at the pictures, you can look at the yield, you can kind of get the whole picture of what's going on. We did that also with a cotton trial that we had out there. It was a small cotton trial. I kind of dipped my toe in it with cotton this year, so we may try to do something bigger next year. And we'll have to wait and see.
A point there too, Henry, is that you do have a lot of different ratings on stuff for all of these. Amanda, right, her team comes out and does some disease ratings on varieties at different times.
Yeah, Amanda comes out, she does disease ratings on our small grains. They do some stuff on our cotton and all of our peanuts.
And your nematode stuff, did
Kathy Lawrence helped me with those, yep.
Yeah. Do you put that data up there too?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All that's up there. So you can not only...
So it's not just a yield.
It's not just yield. You can look at some disease stuff where we have data for that as well.
Okay.
And so back when Auburn had a corn entomologist, you had some insect stuff there too, right? With ear feeding and those types of things. You know, generally speaking, cotton varieties, I can give myself a little cover for not doing anything. It's not a whole lot of preference one way or the other for most insects, but some of that kind of stuff is available, which is just another neat thing you've got there.
I did scare you pretty good with the non-BT cotton last year, I think it was.
Yeah, you really that was a very interesting day. And hey, that gives a shout out to the scout on the experiment station in Headland that he found it. Did not know there was a non-BT variety in there, and he called Chris Parker and said, "Hey, you got a lot of bollworms in this field."
Wow.
That I was impressed. He found that variety.
Anything last? Or I guess if I would recommend anything from this episode, remember OVT.
Check out the website. Sign up for updates.
And one other point I was going to make, Henry, you've got, correct me if I'm wrong, but you've got like YouTube videos of how to use it.
Yes, I went through and made a web page that's kind of a tutorial type web page on how to use the database. I've provided shortcuts to a lot of the more commonly requested things, statewide tables, North Region, whatever. So either way, you can go in there. You can take the shortcut, get started, and then if you want to dive deeper, you can watch some of the videos and learn how to.
And our extension agent should be trained up on how to. We may need to kind of do a
year in service.
We've had a little bit of turnover, so we've got some new agents, but the ones that have been here for a while have been trained on.
And you can, if they would rather, provide a PDF version of it as well.
Yeah, I also do a PDF report that shows the yields and some of the stuff. It's not near as comprehensive, and it's just going to be location tables. So it won't be statewide summaries or north region summaries or whatever you want to do. It'll just be per location.
Right, yeah. All right, well, thanks, Henry. Enjoyed that overview. I still think, you know, even though you don't have a, quote, extension appointment or whatever, this is one of the most important things Auburn can provide farmers. So we appreciate your time today, kind of an overview. And all the work that you do too, because we know how much it is. So with that, we'll log off until the next episode. As always, if any of us can ever with Extension can ever do anything to help, please don't hesitate to reach out and let us know. Or if you've got topics or other things you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know that as well.
The Alabama Crops Report is a production of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System.